Well, bless the Lord. Today is a glorious day in which we welcome our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into our midst. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday. I want to thank Sylvia for just sharing the Lord's table with us. Thank you very much. Oscar, great leadership. Jeff, thank you for leading your team and leading us in praising and worshiping our Lord and Savior. We have a different kind of king, a different kind of kingdom, and we're called to be a different kind of person, a different kind of children, and different kind of citizens of this kingdom. Sylvia also already shared about Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey. And the courage challenge that we learn from Jesus through the message on Palm Sunday is to be humble, to be grounded, and know your authority. To be humble, to be grounded, and to know your authority. Jesus knew His authority, and He wants us to know our authority. Knowing your authority is not arrogance. Quite the contrary. It's based in humility. The root of humility is humus, of the earth, of the ground, and being grounded. In all serious, knowing your authority is not arrogance, it is grounded in truth. Last week, Oscar challenged us to wield the sword of the Spirit. It is written. Everyone say that. It is written. We need to know what Christ has done for us on the cross and all of the mystery of that grace that He shed upon us. We need to know our authority. We need to use the Word of God. So let's turn to this great passage on Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and that person will send them right away. Jesus knew His authority. He said, if anyone says anything, tell him that the Lord needs them, and that person will send them right away. Why did Jesus choose to come on a donkey as opposed to a horse? A horse is much more impressive than a donkey. It was a colt, a young donkey. Luke 19:30 says, a colt which no one has ever ridden. This animal that was never ridden was set aside for a special purpose. What must it have been like to be that colt that came announcing a different kind of king, King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There was a special purpose that this colt had, to announce a king. Not just any king. Not a conquering king on a horse or chariots of war, but a king on a donkey, on a colt. Why did Jesus come this way? Jesus knew the importance of symbolism. A donkey is a symbol of humility. Humility as opposed to pride. And we need to remind ourselves of the King that we serve, that we wage war spiritually, confident of the victory already won by Christ on the cross. We need to remember that our fight is not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We need to thank God every day for the victory that we have in Christ. That's one thing we need to thank God every day for. The disciples desired an earthly king which would overthrow Roman rule. But Christ adjusted their thinking. Christ has a way of adjusting our thinking. He has to adjust our thinking every day of our lives. He has a way of adjusting our perspective. He has a way of adjusting our humanity, our human ideas. He gives us a way of adjusting even the news that we see on TV to understand His perspective, a different perspective. How is Jesus a different kind of king? Well, He's a king, first of all, who gave His life away. He's a king who gives His life away. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." This is why it says, when He ascended on high, when Christ ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. Much has been written about the historical Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar was a great military leader, and he won many battles. All right, but he was told by the Roman Senate to not come back as a conquering military leader to Rome. And there was a small stream called the Rubicon. This small stream, geographical stream feature called the Rubicon. How many of you have ever heard the term crossing the Rubicon? All right, it really means a point of no return. Once you've crossed the Rubicon, that's it. All right, you've made your decision. And Julius Caesar decided to cross this small stream, and that was symbolic that he was going to come back into Rome as a conquering military leader. Julius Caesar abused his power. He was a leader that had the popularity of the people on his side, and he usurped his authority. He used his popularity to advantage. And when conquering kings would or conquering military leaders would come back into the capital city as a conquering hero and leader, and they would be showered with gifts by the people. All right, and they would receive all this praise from the people, and they'd be showered with gifts. But here, Jesus is different. He is not coming in usurping authority, but He knows His God-given authority. Jesus knows His rightful authority. He is not receiving gifts, but He is coming giving gifts. He's giving gifts to those that come to Him. All right? He's not being showered with gifts, but He is giving gifts. And He gives us gifts today. He gives us equipping gifts. He gives us gifts so that they can be used to advance His kingdom. Oscar was just emphasizing how we've all been given a gift. We've all been given something to advance His kingdom. We all have a seed to sow in other people's lives. He's talking about Vacation Bible School. We all have a gift that God can use for His kingdom. And so God gives us gifts. It's what Christ the King does for us. He comes giving us gifts. These are grace gifts. Again, Ephesians 4, he says, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. He gives you gifts. These are grace gifts. These are charisma gifts to advance His kingdom of love. Every single one of you are important. Every single one of you have an important role on the team. Every single one of you are part of the team and have a gift to give. And it may not be expressed here on Sunday morning. And that is okay. All right, we have people up here on the stage that are sharing their gifts. And we've got Ogo coming around, you know, the best dancer in the whole congregation. All right, she knows how to dance. All right, and, she has the gift of dance. All right, but you might have a gift like, you know, Joshua over here, Joshua Phillips, who, you know, reaches out to young people in the community and coaches basketball and really helps to come alongside young people and encourage them, all right, to stay on the right path. Everybody has a gift. All right? It's either going to be sown here or it's going to be sown out there. And quite frankly, we need people to sow more and more gifts out there in the community. All right? It comes down to this. It's others focused. Alright, it's focused on others. God's gift is not just for you to hoard it or to put it under your mattress, alright, to save your money. Alright? But that gift is used to advance His kingdom, and it's focused on others. God has given you a gift, and He wants you to use it for His kingdom. Children, God has given you grace to become the champions that God is calling you to become. Adults, God has given you grace sufficient to be the champions God is calling you to be. So we serve a different king in a different kingdom. And we're called to be different children. And we're called to be different citizens of this kingdom. Children, Jesus calls you to be different. Instead of bullying, and none of you would ever bully anyone else, I know that. But instead of bullying, you need to stand up for the weak. There's a saying, the only thing for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. The only thing for evil to prevail is that good men and women do nothing. The only thing for evil to prevail is that good, godly children do nothing. Instead of bullying or allowing bullying to be going on in your school, you need to stand up for the weak. Instead of lying, you need to be ones that keep your word. Instead of complaining, you need to shine like a star by having an attitude of gratitude. Instead of disobedience, you need to not just do what your parents say, but you need to have a heart response of obedience to your parents, where in your heart you are wholeheartedly obeying because you know that that pleases the Lord. And God calls you, children, to obey your parents in all things. And that's how you shine like a star. That is the straightest line to your promised land, children. The straightest line to God's promises in your life is obedience. First of all, obeying your parents, obeying the Lord, obeying your teachers, obeying the authorities, the coaches, whoever your parents have put in your life. All right, that is the straightest line to the promised land that God has for you. Instead of laziness, wholeheartedness. Instead of quitting, perseverance. This king causes you to behave differently, children. Let's go back to Matthew 21, verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus, your king, is coming to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey. This is a fulfillment of prophecy hundreds of years earlier. In Zechariah 9, verse 9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. What a king! What a leader! What a servant, inspiring through self-sacrificing love. We're called to imitate that king. We're called to fix our eyes on him. Children, seek to please him. How do we please him? How do we imitate him? How do we learn of Christ, this great king, coming riding on a donkey? How do we know him? How do we know his heart? Well, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do we learn of this great, inspiring servant, king? We come to him. We take his yoke. All right. We're not just footloose and fancy free Christians doing whatever we want to do. We become yoked with Christ. We become partners with Christ. We learn of him. We walk of him. We touch his heart. We see how his heart beats. All right. We learn not just about him, We don't just learn, you know, just head knowledge, but we learn what makes him tick, what he's motivated by, how he responds to people, how he responds to conflict, how he uses wisdom in conflicting situations, how he reaches out to people, his gentleness and his humility. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. He sat on the colt. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. John 12:13 says the people took palm branches and went out to meet Jesus, shouting praises. This is why we have our palm branches today, and why we call this day Palm Sunday. The crowds that went ahead of Jesus and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" These were three distinct exclamations of praise. Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! There was cause for rejoicing. It's why we sing the great Hosanna song. What does the word Hosanna mean? Well, Oscar really set the tone for the service this morning as he called us, all right, and called us to worship, and he shared that scripture that had, "O Lord, save us." The word Hosanna is an exclamation for save. Everyone say save.
Save.
Say Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Save us.
Save us.
Also, Hosanna is an exclamation for help. Everyone say help.
Help,
help us.
Help.
All right. Do you need help?
Yes.
Do you need to be saved?
Yes.
It's a good thing to be in a place of needing God. I can tell you, I need God every single day of my life. It is a good place to be in that place of needing God. But you got to come to God and say, "Lord, help me. Save me." You got to have come to God and be with the Lord and just say, "Lord, help me." And then He comes upon your heart and your mind, and He gives you that reassurance that He will be there to help you. He will be there to save you. That His grace will be sufficient for you. That there will be nothing that is too hard that He can't handle. All right? And that He will never leave you nor forsake you. We need His saving help each and every day. Christ is there to help you. Christ is there to save you today. As Jesus rode on the donkey, the crowds used words from Psalm 118:25-26. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The crowd was like, "What's happening? What's going on? What's happening here?" And it was Jesus coming on a donkey, a symbol of humility. Verse 12, Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," Jesus said to them. "It is written." Amen. Jesus said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Children, young people, memorize the word of God.
Amen.
Adults, we're all little children in God's eyes, men and women, memorize the Word of God. Jesus did his Bible memory. Growing up, Jesus memorized the Word of God. Jesus internalized the Word of God. Over and over and over again, Jesus is our example. He said, "It is written. My house would be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." Make no mistake, humility and meekness don't equate with weakness. Humility and meekness do not equate with indecision. Humility and meekness do not equate with inaction. Jesus was humble. Jesus was meek, which is strength under control. Jesus was strong in the Lord. Jesus was decisive. Jesus was a man of action. Jesus knew his authority. He knew that the temple was supposed to be a house of God. Unfortunately, the temple had gained a reputation of being a place of greed and dishonesty. And Jesus was rightfully angry. Jesus wanted to restore the temple to be what it was rightfully supposed to be. Jesus wanted to restore the temple to be a place of worshiping the Lord. In fact, in Mark 11:17, Mark adds that my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's from Isaiah. Again, Jesus was quoting Scripture. Jesus had memorized Scripture from Isaiah 56:7, which says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus was agreeing with Father God that in Him, in Christ, the dividing walls of hostility between nations were being broken down. The dividing walls of hostility between people groups were being broken down. And we, as citizens of this different kind of kingdom, we as children of this new kingdom, this one holy nation, need to be going in that direction as a people, as a people of God, that we are a people belonging to God, and the dividing walls of hostility that we see on the news and in society, that we are part of the solution, that we are ministers of reconciliation to help bring people to Christ and bring people together. Jesus was agreeing with God the Father. He wanted it to be a place where people from all nations would be able to come together to worship Him. Jesus, a man of humility, was grounded. And in all seriousness, He wasn't trying to achieve His authority. He wasn't trying to get His authority and trying to get people's attention and so forth. All right, Oscar did a great job of trying to get our attention after all that community building time. I mean, we love, we sometimes, stand up here and say, okay, let's come back together here. And you guys love to talk with each other. Jesus knew His authority. He knew the authority that He had to do what needed to be done. He took authority. He was decisive. He took action. And Jesus restored the temple to what it should be. Verse 14. The blind and the lame came to Jesus at the temple, and He healed them. Jesus knew His authority to heal. Jesus knew His authority. Verse 15. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things Jesus did, and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? These religious leaders and chief priests asked Jesus. As the children praised Jesus, the religious leaders wanted to silence the children. I love the voices of children. Mina, I love your voice. Ogo, I love your voice. All right? That is so important to a congregation. All right? Jesus would not silence the voices of the children. But again, these religious leaders are questioning Jesus. They're questioning His authority. What was Jesus' response? When they asked Him, do you hear what these children are saying? Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? Again, Jesus answers these religious leaders' argument with Scripture. It is written. He answers that the Word of God. Jesus must have memorized the entire Old Testament. All right? If Jesus can do it, you can do it. All right? He said, have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? Again, Oscar's message last week, "Speak, it is written." This different kind of king, Jesus, he answered opposition by confessing Scripture. When you are dealing with opposition in the world, don't resort to your own arguments. Don't resort to your own thinking. Don't resort to getting into a fleshy argument. Don't resort to all kinds of these human things that we can get ourselves into. Use the Word of God. Use Scripture. Use Scripture to remind yourself. Use Scripture with your co-workers. Use Scripture with your family. Use Scripture with your children. When you're going to maybe get into a little thing with your teenager. All right? Don't resort to your own thinking. Use the Word of God. Use the Word of God. Call your young person to the Word of God. It is written. Jesus had memorized Psalm 8, 1 and 2. That's why we and our children, how you need to memorize Scripture. He said, "O Lord," he was quoting from Psalms. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." Talk about authority. The enemy, we know, as Christians, from the Word of God, has no authority. There's a reason why it says to silence the foe and the avenger. Because he has no authority, but he tries to whisper or yell things in our ears through various means. Sometimes he just yells things at us. Sometimes he tries to manipulate us. He tries to deceive us. He's a liar and the father of lies. All right? And he tries to deceive us. I once heard a message that really impacted me that said, Satan is not omniscient. God is omniscient, but Satan is not omniscient. Satan is not all-knowing. And we need to understand these in the spiritual warfare that we are in, that we have the victory in Christ. But to not be intimidated by the voice of the enemy. When the voice of the enemy throws all that stuff in your mind and your heart, and you're hearing the lies and the intimidation that he tries to bring through his voice, all right, we need to not look like it's affecting us. Satan only knows whether it's affecting us by our words and by our actions. So again, we don't repeat his lies. We don't repeat his intimidation. We don't repeat it to others. Again, we use Scripture. We use Scripture. We're not intimidated. All right, we're not communicating to our wife, you know, what the enemy is putting in our minds. All right, we're communicating Scripture. We need to know how to use this sword of the Spirit. We need to know how to wield the sword of the Spirit and not fall prey to his arguments, not fall prey to his manipulations and his lies and his intimidation. He does that through his voice. All right? And so he is silenced. God has ordained praise to silence the foe and the avenger. Talking about authority. We walk in God's authority when we praise the Lord. We don't have to get the authority. We have the authority. When we walk and when we are praising the Lord with our family, we are walking in God's authority. God, why has God ordained praise from children? To silence the enemy. The devil is silenced. We have authority to silence the enemy through praising the Lord. Parents, no matter what you are going through, if you see your child worshiping the Lord, the enemy is silenced. Why is that? Because that's the whole goal. When you study Scripture all the way through, the whole goal, the whole purpose is to pass this on to our children. to pass this on to not only our children, our nuclear families, but our children, spiritual children, all right, to spread His Word, all right? Why did God ordain marriage? He ordained marriage, all right, so that He wanted godly offspring, all right? We witness to others through our families. We are passing this on to our children. We're passing it on to spiritual children as well. This is the goal. The enemy cannot say anything. And all your trials standing for the Lord, because when you're standing for the Lord, all right, you're going to experience opposition, but you got to know the victory has won. We stand in the victory. When you are standing for the Lord, you are going to experience opposition. All of it is worthwhile when you see your child having a true relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And children, that's why it's important to praise the Lord with all your heart. It's why we call you up front. It's why we call you to sing with everything you have, to clap, to lift up your hands, to dance before the Lord. Because this is the best place, the best activity, the most important priority, our most important commitment to develop, praising the Lord, worshiping Him. My encouragement to you as families is to practice the strategy of taking authority through praising the Lord in your homes. All right? To practice the strategy of taking authority through praising the Lord with your children in your homes. Let's go back to Matthew 21, verse 17. And Jesus left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where He spent the night. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on His way back to the city, He was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, Jesus went up to it. All right, Jesus would get hungry just like all of us. Fully God, fully man. Jesus went up to the fig tree but found nothing on it except leaves. Then Jesus said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. Jesus spoke against a fruitless fig tree. Last couple of weeks, we had some dead trees taken down here on the grounds. Jesus knew His authority. Jesus knew the power of His words. Verse 20, when the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Jesus knew His authority. Faith is authority. When He said to the centurion, okay, when the centurion said, you know, "Just say the word and I know that my servant will be healed." Because the centurion was a man under authority. He knew the power of authority. All right, and so Jesus commended the centurion's faith. And Jesus is saying here, have faith and do not doubt. God has given you and me a measure of faith. We all have been given a measure of faith. Don't think, "Oh, well, I don't know if I have faith." You have been given a measure of faith. I know that we all sometimes, I know that we all sometimes have uncertainty. We need to take heart. God understands when we have sometimes uncertainty. But when the Holy Spirit reveals His will to us, when the Holy Spirit makes His will known to you for your life, that inspires us to pray confidently. What is His will for us? There are many things in the Word of God that we can bank upon are His will for us. And these things are things that you can trust God for and speak. It is written, and thank Him for every day of your life. We know that it is His will for us to have righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. That we have peace that passes all understanding. We know that it is His will for us to walk in faith, hope, and love. That we live by faith in Christ. That we are prisoners of hope, all right, as opposed to despair and depression. That we have hope. And of course, love. All right? The perfect quality of love toward others. What is His will for us? His will is a steward of honoring Him. Honoring Him with our gifts, with our tithes. That as we honor Him, He will provide all of our needs. All right? We know that it is His will to protect us. We know that it is His will to have freedom from fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. We know that we have been given a sound mind. What is His will for us? All right. His will for us is to bless us. All right. God commands a blessing over our lives. That He's given us grace and favor with God and man. We know that it is His will for us to have a great relationship with our family. Guys, it is His will that you have a great relationship with your wife. And I won't go into too much detail about that because we've got children here. All right, but you know what I'm talking about. All right, ladies, it is His will that you have a great relationship with your husband. It is His will that God's will be done in our children. There are so many things that we can thank the Lord for, that we can pray according to His will. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the will of God. If you are a single, all right, okay, pray about it until you know, all right, and you're in your 20s or your 30s or what have you, and you pray about it until you know that God has a mate for you. All right? And pray. There is a way that you can express that relationship right now and pray for that. If you're a guy, pray for that lady. If you're a lady, to pray for that guy. And you can pray for that person. All right? And ask God to reveal His will to you. You can pray for that person. Know the will of God for your life. Speak the Word of God in your life. And your faith in the Word of God will grow stronger. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Let the Holy Spirit reveal His will to you. All right. There's been many times and key times in my life where I can recall going on walks with the Lord. All right. And saying, I need to know Your will for my life. I can remember when I was at Regent University and getting my master's degree and going on a walk with the Lord at night and just going on a walk. And, you know, I wanted to get this master's degree, but I didn't have much direction. I was leaving Atlanta Christian School, coaching varsity basketball, coaching varsity soccer, and going to Etzion School that didn't even have a sports program, and saying, Lord, what is Your will? And He said, He gave me a goal. He gave me His will to become principal of Etzion School within 3 years. Well, I was associate principal within 1 year and principal within 2 years. All right. He gave me His will. All right. He gave me a goal. God will do that in your life. All right. Will there be key times in your life where you go on a walk with the Lord and say, Lord, what is Your will? What is Your direction? All right. And pray according to His will. Let the Holy Spirit reveal His will to you. Pray with confidence. Verse 23. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while He was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to Him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? Again, Jesus' authority is being questioned. Verse 24, Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? Jesus responded by asking the religious leaders a question. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? You see, we see this in the political world. We see this with the media and the political world, and, you know, media asking questions and politicians answering questions and media trying to trap politicians in their words and so forth and get them to say things and say, well, you didn't answer the question. You didn't answer the question. Well, the enemy will try to do this as well. All right, as part of his manipulation and his oppression and his intimidation and his lies, he will question you. He will question you. He will pepper you with questions. Don't get into an argument with Satan. All right? Don't try to answer Satan. All right? Just respond with "it is written." Respond with the Word of God. That's why we've got to continually study the Word of God. That's why we've got to get better and better at using the sword of the Spirit. All right? Because we have, this is part of our training as disciples, as Christian soldiers of Christ, so that we can use the Word of God. All right? When the enemy attacks. Verse 25 again. They discussed it when Jesus challenged them this way. They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask them, why didn't you believe John the Baptist? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. The religious leaders decided not to answer Jesus' wise question. And Jesus showed that these religious authorities didn't have any real authority at all. I'd like us to stand for prayer. Jesus was humble, he was grounded, and he knew his authority. And the Great Commission, as Jesus commissioned his disciples right before he ascended, Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus spoke with authority. The enemy will question your authority, but stand in faith. Don't fall prey to the manipulative questions of the enemy. Don't allow the enemy to manipulate you with his words. Don't allow him to distract you. That's a big part of what the enemy tries to do, to distract us on the goal that Christ has for us. Study the Word. Be a soldier knowing your authority. Skillfully wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit reveal His will to you, to your family, and pray according to His will. And then speak the Word with confidence. It is written. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, that You are a different kind of King. Father, we take our example from You to be humble, to be grounded, and to know our authority. To know that our authority is grounded in Christ. All right, that if Christ be for us, who can be against us? That Christ is with us. That we can be strong and courageous. That we keep our eyes upon You, knowing that You're with us. That we have all authority to do what You have called us to do, Lord. Lord, help us as we pray. Reveal Your will to us. Lord God, help us to use the power of the Word of God, to speak it with confidence, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.